The Dark Web Files. Exposing the internet's hidden underbelly.
You know, Rachel, I spend probably an unhealthy amount of time looking at audio equipment online. It's a bit of a problem.
Only when your credit card statement arrives, I know the feeling. You're always chasing that perfect sound.
Exactly. And a few weeks ago, I saw a listing for a high-end mixer, a piece of gear that normally costs thousands, for a price that just didn't make sense. It was impossibly low.
The kind of deal that's too good to be true.
The kind of deal that makes you stop and ask a different question. Not, is this a scam? But, where did this come from? What's the story behind it?
And, for me, that's where my interest started. I was talking to a new podcaster, someone just starting out, and they were so stressed about the cost. They said, it feels like you have to spend a fortune just to be heard. It made me think about the pressure we're all under to sound professional, and, well, how far someone might go to get that edge.
And that's the collision point, isn't it? The explosive growth of our industry, this incredible passion for audio, meeting a hidden, anonymous marketplace that can provide the tools.
But what is the real price? What if the microphone you're using to tell your story has a secret story of its own? A story that starts not in a factory, but in the back of a truck or a hacked inventory system.
That is the central question of today's episode. We're going deep into a world most of us know exists, but few of us truly understand. We're talking about the dark web and its silent but powerful influence on the very equipment we use to create.
This is the invisible sound wave, dark web, and the podcast equipment industry.
So, to answer that question, where does it come from? It's not one single pipeline. We've identified really three main channels. The first is the one we all imagine, right? The classic physical theft. A pallet of microphones goes missing from a warehouse or a shipping container.
The old fell off the back of a truck scenario.
Precisely. But that's almost the least sophisticated method now. The second channel is where it gets much more insidious. It's digital. It's a ghost in the machine.
What do you mean, digital? We're talking about a physical piece of equipment.
Imagine a company's inventory system, a complex database that tracks every single unit from the factory to the retailer. A skilled hacker gets in, and they don't steal the data. They just alter it. They create a phantom shipment. The system shows 100 units were sent to a retailer, but 105 were actually on the truck.
Oh, wow. So 5 of those mixers, they don't officially exist. The paperwork is clean, but the physical items are siphoned off somewhere along the supply chain.
They're ghosts. They can be sold without ever being reported as stolen, because according to the master inventory, they were never there to begin with. It's a heist with a keyboard, not a crowbar.
That requires an incredible level of sophistication. And probably, an inside source? Someone at the warehouse or in the shipping company has to be involved to physically move the unlocked boxes, right?
That's the weak link they always exploit. The human element. A disgruntled employee. Someone with a gambling debt. It doesn't take much. A few $100 to look the other way when an extra box is loaded onto a different truck.
And the person buying it on the other end, the podcaster who's just trying to get a good deal on a microphone, they have no clue. They're not just buying stolen goods. They could be the final step in a sophisticated cybercrime.
They are the unwitting endpoint of that chain. And then there's the third channel, which is in some ways the most deceptive.
There's another one?
Counterfeits. And I'm not talking about cheap plastic knockoffs that you can spot a mile away. I'm talking about master-level forgeries. Mics built in unauthorized factories using stolen schematics with nearly identical components. They look, feel, and sometimes even sound 90% like the real thing.
So, you could be using a piece of gear for months, even years, thinking you have this top-of-the-line, industry-standard microphone. And it's a fake.
A very, very convincing fake. It might have a slightly different noise floor or a component that fails a year earlier than it should, but to the average user, it's indistinguishable. The serial number might even check out on the manufacturer's website if they've hacked that database too.
That's terrifying, because it erodes the one thing our industry is built on, trust. Trust in your tools. If you can't trust that your microphone is what it says it is, how can you trust the sound you're creating?
And that's the real poison, isn't it? It's not just about the financial loss or a piece of gear failing. It's the introduction of doubt. That little voice in the back of your head that asks, is what I'm hearing real? It attacks the very foundation of what we do.
So, how do they pull it off so convincingly? I mean, these big companies, they have quality control. They have, you know, holograms and security seals and all that.
They do. But you have to understand the scale of these counterfeit operations. We spoke to a former logistics manager for a major audio brand. Off the record, of course. He said they're not just copying the microphone, they're copying the entire packaging process. The box, the foam insert, the warranty card, even the little silica gel packet.
They're faking the silica gel packet? That's an obsessive level of detail.
It is. Because they know that's what we look for. We look for the small signs of authenticity. So they replicate those signs perfectly. The real difference, the one that matters, is hidden deep inside. It might be a cheaper capacitor, a diaphragm with an inconsistent coating, something that won't show up in a casual test.
But it'll show up eventually.
Oh, it will. It'll show up as a higher noise floor that you can't quite eliminate in post-production. Or a sudden failure, right in the middle of a crucial interview. It's a ticking time bomb, but by the time it goes off, the seller is long gone.
And the person who bought it, they're left thinking the brand is unreliable. They go online, they leave a one-star review. They're damaging the reputation of the very company they thought they were buying from.
It's reputational warfare, funded by the people who are being deceived. And this brings us to the most unsettling part of this whole counterfeit channel.
What's that?
The Grade B pipeline. These aren't fakes. They're real products made in the real factory. But they're units that failed quality control for some minor, often auditory reason. They were supposed to be destroyed.
Supposed to be.
Right. But instead, a factory manager with access to the reject pile pulls them aside. They're not logged as destroyed. They slip out the back door, indistinguishable from a perfect unit, except for that one fatal flaw. They get a legitimate seeming serial number slapped on them and are fed into the same dark web marketplaces.
So you could do everything right. Buy from what looks like a semi-legitimate reseller, check the serial number, and it all looks perfect. But you're still getting a defective product on purpose.
You're buying the company's garbage without knowing it, and you're paying a premium for it.
That feels more personal somehow, more of a violation than a straight-up fake. With a fake, you're being lied to about its origin. With this, you're being sold a secret, a known failure. That's a whole different level of betrayal.
It is, because it preys on the very thing that drives people to create in the first place, aspiration. You want that professional sound. You save up, you do your research, you buy what you think is the key to unlocking the next level of your craft, and you've been sold a lie from the start. A lie that was destined to fail.
And it makes you wonder how much of the online chatter, the forum posts about this brand is unreliable, or my mic died for no reason, is actually because of this? How many creators have given up, frustrated, thinking they just weren't cut out for it, when the real problem was the tool in their hand was a saboteur from day one?
That's the unquantifiable damage. It's not just a financial crime, it's a crime against creativity. It injects poison into the well of our community. And when you look at all three of these channels together, the physical theft, the digital ghosts, the counterfeits, and the rejects, it's not three separate problems. It's an ecosystem.
A parasitic one. It feeds on the legitimate industry and on the passion of creators. So, I guess the big lingering question for me is, what can you even do? If the fakes are perfect and the rejects have real serial numbers, how does a normal person, someone just trying to make a great show, protect themselves?
That's the million-dollar question. And the answer is, frustratingly simple, and I know, unsatisfying. You have to resist the temptation of the impossible deal. You have to buy from authorized, reputable dealers. Period.
Which goes right back to the problem I mentioned at the very beginning, the high barrier to entry. It feels like the only solution is to have enough money to not need a deal in the first place.
it does. And I don't have a good answer for that, other than to say that the real price of that too-good-to-be-true mixer isn't the couple of hundred dollars you save. It's the risk. The risk of it failing, of it being a fake, of it damaging your other equipment, of it undermining your work, and the risk of propping up this entire shadow industry.
So the final thought, for me at least, isn't just about being a cautious buyer. It's about being a better community. It's about sharing knowledge, warning people about suspicious sellers, and being transparent about our own setups. Maybe the best defense against a dark, anonymous market is an open, connected community of creators looking out for each other.
I think that's the only way forward. Trust the people in the community more than the price tag on an anonymous listing. It's the only way to be sure the sound you're making is truly your own.
That's our show for this week. Thank you for listening to The Invisible Soundwave.